What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, March 13th. We are working our way through this great month of March. March Madness is around the corner. Selection Sunday is this Sunday. And it's very disappointing how the Hurricanes basketball season is over.
Over? Did you say over?
Yes, it is. They lost yesterday to Boston College on a Tuesday in the ACC tournament. 10 straight losses in the conference. They're finished. They're done. And that's wild because look at where they were last year. And now they lose on a Tuesday in the ACC tournament. Pretty bad. Compare 2024 to 2023. I hope that's not going to be the comparison we lay for the Miami Heat and the Florida Panthers, but my gosh, those Panthers last night, I'll be getting into that in a little bit. I love March. I say it every single day in March that I'm here on the airwaves. I love this time of the year. Not only college basketball with the tournament, but I love having baseball around the corner. Yankees fans, you should have been so thrilled about this season, right? Juan Soto, we got a lot of New Yorkers in this audience. But now the news with Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge, seems like every year it's the Yankees and the Mets. They're supposed to have these great seasons, and before the year starts or right as it starts, all these injuries pile up. And then the team never lives up to the expectations that surround them. But the fact that we have baseball season right around the corner is fantastic. We actually have a game a week from today. The one in South Korea. It's going to be two games, the Dodgers and the Padres. I think those games will be played at like 4 a.m. or something Eastern time. I don't know the exact schedule, but you could look it up. Maybe it's a little bit later than that. But two baseball games, they start a week from today. We get that one next Wednesday and then another one on Thursday. And spring training games will still be going on. And then the regular season for everybody else will begin on the 28th. That's when the Marlins are at home against the Pirates, and I will be there at that game, and I'm looking forward to it. At least I know I'll be traveling come playoff time. I think so. Assuming the Panthers advance past the first round. The Miami Heat hopefully advance past the first round. Hopefully they play in the first round. Oh, tonight's game, definitely not easy. And when you look at the NBA standings in the Eastern Conference, right now the Heat are sitting at 8. Exciting? Yeah, I mean, they could, I don't know if they will, but they could get the 4 seed. Right now they're sitting in the 8 spot, and the 8 spot means you're in the play-in game. And we saw that last year. As long as the Heat get in, that's all we need. We have evidence. Last season, they barely get in, and they go to the NBA Finals. Last season, the Panthers barely get in. They go to the Stanley Cup Final. This year, the Panthers will not barely get in. They're, I'm not going to say looking to win the President's Trophy, because that's not the goal, but it looks like they definitely could win the President's Trophy. And that means you've got the most points in hockey. The last time that happened to them, they were out in the second round. Last year, the Boston Bruins won the President's Trophy, and they were out in the first round, courtesy of the Florida Panthers. So it should be an exciting time for us in South Florida. But the Miami Hurricanes basketball team, they're not going to be part of that, which really is amazing to me. I know UM basketball isn't such a big topic in South Florida, but last year at this time, it definitely was. So I'm not just going to blow that off. You can't go to the Final Four And then the following season, lose 10 straight to end your year. And you're losing in the first round of the ACC tournament on a Tuesday. You can't just blow that off and be like, okay, we're just going to move on to the next subject. But at the same time, I do realize that's not a major thing compared to everything else that we've got going on. And a lot of that just has to do with football news and the Miami Dolphins. As I said yesterday, and every day I could say it, football is king. If the Dolphins ever won a Super Bowl, heck, if they ever won a playoff game anytime soon, people would go nuts. Super Bowl, forget about it. But I'm not asking Lieutenant Camacho on this Wednesday from the Florida Highway Patrol, because he joins us every Wednesday. I'm not asking him about parade routes anymore. We got really excited about that 3 months ago, and they couldn't even win one playoff game. Now, how will the Miami Dolphins be able to win a playoff game? I see all these things online. Okay, well, they lose Christian Wilkins, but they picked up seven players for the same amount of money. I'd rather have Christian Wilkins on my football team. You could argue against that. That's fine. That's your opinion. But I'd rather have Christian Wilkins on my football team. The players the Miami Dolphins are picking up, I will discuss that in a little bit as well. And then the story today, Jonnu Smith talks to the media and says, oh, well, I saw the Dolphins on Hard Knocks, and it just made me really want to be a Miami Dolphin because they can win a championship. And then some reporters are like, see, Hard Knocks, it worked out well for Miami. It was a good thing. Yeah, let the Dolphins be on Hard Knocks, which they hated being on. But, you know, Stephen Ross likes that spotlight. Because if you're on Hard Knocks, you could pick up Jonnu Smith. Now, I'm not saying Jonnu Smith is a bad football player, but come on. It's not Travis Kelce. If Travis Kelce went from Kansas City to Miami because of what he saw on Hard Knocks, let's make a story. But if you're going to make a story, and it's not even a joke, it's like a story. If you're going to make a story how it turned out to be a good thing the Dolphins were on Hard Knocks because they got Jonnu Smith, what would the story be if that was Travis Kelce instead of Jonnu Smith who said that? Come on. What else can I say? Is Jonnu Smith going to be the reason the Dolphins win a playoff game? We know this Dolphins season. We know what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to Tua more than ever. Because when you lose all these defensive players and you have a brand new defensive coordinator, I'd say the chances are the defense isn't going to be as good as they were last season. So if they're giving up more points, what does that mean for your offense? They got to score more points. They don't have to play like they did in the Denver game every week. But you're going to have to score a lot. Can the Miami Dolphins do that with Tua at quarterback? And most importantly, can they do it in a playoff game? You could show me all the regular season stats in the world, but can you do it in the playoffs?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
Let's just hope the Miami Dolphins are there. Because of the Dolphins, this week has been much busier than I expected. Probably because of that purge on Monday. We knew the Dolphins would lose some guys, but Monday, getting rid of one after another and another, and hearing about them signing somewhere, that made for big stories not only in Miami and the South Florida area, but all around the country, NFL-wise. Because the Dolphins were losing player after player, and they're signing in other places. And now, okay, how will this team bounce back roster-wise? If anything else happens, of course, we're going to talk about it here on the show. And on social media, you see all these signings happening as the day moves along. Teams from all over the NFL, they're making moves. The NFL, they don't have a real game until September. It's a while away. But we now understand that the NFL is a league where 366 days a year, this year, that's what we got, it's a leap year, In other years, 365, they're number one. No matter what else is happening, they are number one, because when they have news, a player signing, some type of deal, whatever it may be, it always takes over as the top story. Now, I mentioned a lot here in the first 10 minutes. I watched the Panthers game last night. We got the Heat playing tonight. We've got the Dolphins making moves. We have the Marlins not making moves. And I really, really want to get to everything. Before I touch any of those subjects with the Heat, the Panthers, the Dolphins, I need to bury a team. It has to be done. I'm not going to take two segments to do it. I'm going to make it pretty quick, because I know it's not the big topic today, but it needs to be done. However, I can't bury this team until the hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
One year ago, this was a huge topic in South Florida. The University of Miami basketball team. Today, they're not really a huge topic. They're buried. They're done. Now, normally I would just say, okay, yeah, they had a terrible year. Let's move on to the next subject. But last year at this time, Coach L and his team, they were dancing. A major story in South Florida. Jim Larrañaga and Dusty May with FAU. They took over our town college basketball-wise. And this year, when it came to the Canes, what did we get?
Nothing.
And what will we get in the next week or so from them?
Nothing.
Now, several things can be true. The first one doesn't speak well for Coach L, but it's reality. The Canes quit on him. You don't lose 10 straight games in your conference if you're trying. It just doesn't happen. It's pretty much impossible. Especially in the ACC, where there really are only two good teams in the whole conference. Miami's players looked at this season. They looked at where they were. And they were like, forget this. I'm not going to give any effort out there. And it showed. As far as Coach L goes, I'm going to give him a mulligan. I don't care how bad they were this year. Hopefully they get some recruits next season and he's back. But when you make a Final Four appearance, the first in program history, and that was the year after you have an Elite Eight appearance, how mad can you be at the coach? If there's any frustration, just think back to when he took over the program. The idea of making the tournament was far-fetched. Seasons like the Canes just had, they were normal, way more normal than what we saw the past 2 years. So my takeaway is the Final Four was awesome. The Elite Eight was great. This year, it was a joke. The players weren't good enough. There was no depth. Yeah, the injury bug bit hard. Some guys, maybe they just didn't even want to come back. Coach L didn't have the same energy. He's always like so excited there and hyped up. And this year just ended horribly. Like, I don't even want to be here anymore.
Get me out of here!
But he said he does. So now what do we do with March Madness coming up? The Canes will have zero part of it. They were so bad, they're probably not even allowed to fill out a bracket. Do we have one or two options? What do? We just jump on board with FAU. We could do that. They'll probably be in that 7 to 10 seed range. They won't be a favorite to do much, but hey, last year happened. Maybe Dusty May gets his team hot again. Or do we just follow a smaller division and root on Nova Southeastern? They won a national title last year. Be cool to see them do it again, but I know the majority of people are not going to do that. So it's FAU or bust. For some of you, maybe USF. But even with the Canes out of this and having a horrific ending, I am still sure that March will be fun. I won't be flying to Chicago or Kansas City to see games, getting there by tip time, rushing from the airport to the Uber to the arena. I'll just wager on the games using the Hard Rock app. When I'm in Florida, that's what I'll do. I'll just enjoy it, have that action, a little bit of pressure, have that interest. But as far as the winning interest in one of our teams doing well, it won't be the Canes. But at least we've still got Dusty May and FAU who still have a shot. All right, well, now I'm done with college basketball talk for the day. But I had to bury the Canes and get that out of the way. Our other teams in South Florida, well, the Dolphins, they're getting buried talk-wise. The Heat, they've been getting buried and hopefully won't tonight. We do not want to bury their season anytime soon. We thought last night the Florida Panthers were buried against the Dallas Stars, but we saw a version of last season's Panthers, the Comeback Cats. Pretty incredible what they were able to do yesterday in Dallas. What's also incredible, what's being done at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood with poker tournaments. The World Poker Tour is coming to town in just a few weeks. The Seminole Hard Rock Poker Showdown, it's got a $3 million guaranteed prize pool in the main event. For the entire schedule, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. You can play in some smaller tournaments right now to try to get into that main event where the guaranteed prize pool is $3 million. It could reach $4 or $5 million by the time all the entries are in. There's so much action going on all the time, specifically in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Tournaments every single day, cash games, the chips, they are flying. Again, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com for all the info. See when the bonus high hands are being handed out. It's just a lot of fun in that poker room with a great atmosphere. And I hope to see you very soon at a poker table at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Live racing going on at Gulfstream Park right now this afternoon. It is the championship meet at Gulfstream Park, and that means the best of the best in the horse racing world is in our own backyard in Hollandale Beach, the Florida Derby. It's just about 2 weeks away, and the winner of the Florida Derby, that horse will be in the Kentucky Derby and could win it all, maybe even the Triple Crown. Gulfstream Park has live racing right now, Wednesday through Sunday. If you want to do what I do when I go to Gulfstream Park, I head to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. You get a fantastic meal. You watch the races live right in front of you. And, of course, like me, wager on them. Now, you don't even have to wager a lot. You could wager 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. I have seen it happen all of the time. Gulfstream Park, live racing Wednesday through Sunday right now. It is the championship meet in Hollandale Beach, a great place to be. It's Gulfstream Park. I was just reading a story a little while ago in the Miami Herald. Yes, I do subscribe, not to the real paper. I don't get that outside the house, but I subscribe online. They got some good journalists. I was reading how now some travelers coming in internationally to Miami International Airport are going to be asked, they don't have to do it, but they're going to be asked if they want to take a COVID test. And I had to make sure that the article was from 2024. The CDC, I guess, is doing something now in some airports where they're asking people traveling from somewhere out of the country, they're asking if they want to do a COVID test, get a swab, and they're not going to be told the results, from what I understand. Who the heck is going to do that? If you wanted to see the emptiest booth or table at Miami International Airport, it will be that one. I want to know how many people are going to do that voluntarily. Hey, would you welcome to the United States of America. Would you like to take a test. Can I put a swab up your nose? Oh, yeah, go for it. Well, what's the result? No, I can't. I'm not going to tell you, but have a good day. Okay, make that make sense to me. When I come into Miami, in about a week or so, I want to see if that booth is there and how many people are actually voluntarily putting swabs up their noses without even knowing if they're positive. I didn't even read the whole thing. I probably should have before I commented on it, but I just hit the X because I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't even need to know the rest of the story. What was really ridiculous last night in a good way was that Florida Panthers comeback. My gosh. Do not take wins like last night's by the Panthers for granted, because that is not normal. Last year it was normal. This year is not normal. You're down 3-0 on the road in Dallas, a team that can score. The Panthers scratched, they clawed, they fought. They got one goal back before the third. They go to the dressing room down 3-1. Bob makes a few amazing saves to keep Florida alive, and they get 3 in the third. They win the game, and just like that, the Panthers open up a very challenging week, a playoff-type week, at Dallas, tomorrow at Carolina, then home for Tampa Bay, a gauntlet of a run. They open up with an incredible W. This team, they're not the comeback cats, because they play well from the get-go. Yesterday was extremely difficult, but it just goes to show you, never give up on them. This team has great traits. Paul Maurice has set a standard. This is how the Florida Panthers play. They play a certain way even if they're down 3-0. They keep plugging away. You got to keep playing to your standard. Then you get some power plays, possibly, like they did. You take advantage of them. You've got Barkov. He gets the game winner. Bob stands on his head. And you win 4-3. It's not just another regular season win last night. It counts the same, but given how hard it was to get, given how good the other team is, this is the type of win that these players will store in their brain, because there will be a time come the playoffs where the Panthers go into the locker room after the second period and they're down a couple of goals. At that point, they can say, remember that game in Dallas? Relax. We're in the same spot. We managed to pick ourselves out of it, and we got the W. In terms of playoff positioning for this Florida team, they are not going to have the same long, winding road that they had last year. That's for sure. Between now and the beginning of the playoffs, there's two goals. The first one is obvious. Be healthy. Now, they've got some players out. Ekblad, get healthy. Because healthy, this team is remarkable. The other goal, the rest of the regular season, good, bad, or ugly, learn from everything, just like last night. Hopefully, we have a lot of good. We don't have bad or ugly. But if there is, learn from it. The game was bad. It was ugly. The Panthers didn't wait until the game was over to say, okay, we're going to learn from this. No, they learned from it during the second intermission. And they came out, and they scored 3 in the third, and they win in Dallas. Dallas is a team who could make a run, so this isn't some bad team they were playing. Definitely not an easy game. That's why I think last night is very significant. And now the Panthers go to Carolina. Carolina playing very well, although they lost last night to the Rangers, who are also playing very well. But these teams that I'm naming, the Rangers, the Panthers just went to Madison Square Garden and beat them. They just go to Dallas. They beat the Stars. They were in Carolina not that long ago, and that's when the Hurricane snapped Florida's road winning streak. And then Carolina's social media and the entire organization started kind of making fun at the Panthers? Like, why? The Panthers ousted you last season in the Eastern Conference Final. You won a regular season game. Okay, sure. So maybe there's some bad blood there now. Carolina gets a regular season W and stops the Panthers' road winning streak. But in a best of seven, I like Florida's chances. Sergei Bobrovsky has been phenomenal. Anthony Stolar is their backup. He's been phenomenal. Yeah, Bob gave up three yesterday, but as Matthew Tkachuk said, it could have very well been eight. The Panthers do not have the chance to come back and win that game if it wasn't for Bob. That was a big performance on a night that did not start out well. But it's not how things start, it's how they finish. Which means the Dolphins will be okay, right? Because free agency did not start off well for them. But it's about how things wind up in the end. Is that what we're going to go with? I want to get to a Dolphins conversation, and I will in just a moment. What you guys want to get to is your cell phone and call Stewie on his personal cell. If you're buying a home, you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, Stewie has got the bagel loan. And when you look at a bagel, you might see sesame seeds and garlic. You see something that you really want to eat. But in the middle of that bagel, there's nothing to eat. There's a zero. And that is exactly what you'll pay Stewie. You pay Stewie nothing. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. It is the bagel loan, and Stewie has got it for you. What I've got is Stewie's personal cell phone number. I want you to call him if you're buying a home, you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing. 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. You want to call Stewie. I tell you the number slowly so you can pay attention and actually use it. I'm not like another host or many hosts. They'll just ramble off a number because they don't care. No, I care about you. And if you are buying a home, if you need a mortgage or you're refinancing, you want to call Stewie because he's got the bagel loan. MLS number 226715. Does Chris Greer have something up his sleeve? I can't imagine Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel got together after this past season, and Greer said to McDaniel, okay, I'm going to let anyone making any good money walk, and I'm going to bring back cheaper and older players. Cool, Mike? We good with that? And Mike McDaniel says, oh, yeah, great. As long as I get to keep Tua and Tyreek, yeah, we're good. I can't imagine that's what the conversation was. But whatever was said, that's essentially where we are. Big money players are walking, and then the Dolphins are signing three or four guys making way less, and they're signing one-year deals. Stephen Ross doesn't like doing small. Nothing he does is small. The buildings he builds, they're not small. Events in Miami Gardens, they're not small. So the Dolphins have got to be working on something here, you would think. I at least hope. Because right now, it looks like the world's worst episode of Supermarket Sweep. They're sweeping all the cheap stuff from all the aisles. Well, when you go to the supermarket or anywhere, you want to be smart with your money. You want to be really good with your financial planning. That's why I tell you about Trajan Wealth. Trajan Wealth, they're not going to help you shop for groceries, but they will help you shop when it comes to your future. How about your retirement? Your long-term goals? Trajan Wealth, they're there to help you. And it will cost you nothing to set up a meeting with Trajan Wealth. They're located locally in Palm Beach. Visit TrajanWealth.com. That's TrajanWealth.com. Or call Trajan Wealth at 561-390-1000. Some of us will be making wagers here in March. We got madness going on. But one thing you do not want to make a wager on, your retirement and your future. That's why you want to contact Trajan Wealth right away. Advisory services are offered through Trajan Wealth LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, and this is a paid advertisement. Here on this Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol with us on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, I think a lot of people in the audience started to see today a video that's gone viral. It wasn't with the Florida Highway Patrol. It was in Sunny Isles. I guess somebody from out of the country supposedly was driving, claimed they were a diplomat. It was false. A lot was happening in this video, but first of all, how are you and what can you tell us about it?
Doing good, Andy, doing good. Yeah, I saw the video myself and I was kind of, I kind of read on it being that it's not from our department, but you're absolutely right. It looks like she was stopped for an infraction. I think she made an improper turn or something along those lines, but there was an infraction that occurred that was witnessed by one of the officers. And I believe as the as they were on the side of the road, they determined that, or they realized that the tag on the car was a counterfeit diplomatic tag. And it seems like she was kind of claiming, you know, diplomatic immunity, and that wasn't necessarily the case. She wasn't able to, I think, properly identify herself. I don't have all of the facts.
She doesn't work for that FSO guard or something, right? It's not the same. Is it the same woman? She changed the car, so now it's just a diplomatic car?
I don't think so. I think, honestly, I think what she was trying to claim, I mean, diplomats, really, it kind of gives certain privileges and immunities, right, to members of foreign countries, right, that are diplomats, right, because they have these missions, whether it's security agreements or peace treaties or whatever they're on, it does kind of give them certain privileges, right, and immunities to local, you know, law. So I think that's what she was claiming, and that they found out that wasn't the case. Then I think she tried to identify herself with a passport, but that didn't really work out. So they had a probable cause to arrest her because of the counterfeit tag, and that's where you see, I believe, they were trying to ask her to, you know, step out of the vehicle. She refused, and the passenger in the car seemed like he was kind of agitating the situation or escalating the situation without really having knowledge of what was really happening. But definitely the officers were justified in the stop and were justified in removing her from the vehicle in the way that they did.
See, if I'm a defense attorney, I'm like, hey, my client here, it's a misunderstanding. She said she was staying at the Westin Diplomat. You know, not that she's at the Diplomat, the Westin Diplomat. I don't know if that would work. But what about, you know, I see this video and I hear about, oh, we're going to sue you for $250,000. You're going to lose your immunity. And Lieutenant, I see a lot of these videos all the time on TikTok. And it looks to me, I mean, you tell me, maybe with the Florida Highway Patrol, this is happening as well. More and more people are getting pulled over and they're like, hey, what's your name and badge number? And everybody thinks they know the law, and some people do. But are you guys seeing or are you hearing about an increase in people filming and asking all these questions?
Yeah, people can ask questions. But what I don't really like is the trend of kind of misinformation that's out there, right? People trying to make a platform for themselves and trying to really misinform the public as far as, you know, their rights or how law enforcement operates, right? These officers were clearly within their rights to perform their duties. They witnessed an infraction. There was a counterfeit tag. They had every right to get her out of the vehicle, right? They gave her several opportunities to step out of the vehicle. If she would have just complied with their orders, right, they wouldn't have had to, pull her out of the vehicle, right? So a lot of misinformation out there, Andy. Remember, everybody wants to hold out a cell phone and record law enforcement, and that's fine as long as you're not obstructing an investigation or getting too close to an active scene. That's fine. People can record. Most law enforcement agencies are also recording video and audio as well. And it's mainly for me, Andy, it's the misinformation that's being put out there in social media.
When you see, I don't know if you've come across it personally, because, I mean, I know you don't pull a lot of people over. You're Lieutenant Camacho. But have you seen or have you heard from your troopers there that more and more people are recording when they get pulled over for anything?
Yes, of course. People are recording and they're quick to hold a cell phone up and they're quick to question while you're stopping them. And that's fine. That's all. I get, like I said, that's all fine. As long as you're not interfering with an investigation or getting too close to a scene. Personally, the last time I assisted one of our interdiction guys with an arrest, the arrestee was questioning our probable cause to search the car when he was literally smoking a joint of marijuana as he was rolling down his window when the officer stopped him. He'd had a firearm in the car and he was saying he was going to call his lawyer and that we couldn't do what we were doing. And he tried to actually physically stop us from searching the car. And again, a lot of just either it's misinformation that they're going off of on the internet, or they just hadn't really educated themselves on their rights and how things work. But most of the time, Andy, especially today, and this, you know, with all the information that's out there on social media, officers are pretty well equipped as far as knowledge and as far as case law that's always coming out, and what are the do's and don'ts when it comes to detaining somebody or searching their vehicles or arresting somebody. So
now, just to be clear, Lieutenant, I mean, because I'm sure you've seen these videos too. We're not talking about 100% of the time, because I mean, I've seen the videos myself, and I would say that there are times where an officer is doing something wrong. No? I mean, sometimes we're not following the exact law.
So it can happen, right? It can happen. But I think more so where people are just going off of the bottom line is, does the officer have a legal obligation or a right to have you detained, right? That's the first question. In this case, yes, there was an infraction observed. So the person, now the officer, has the right to enforce that law and to detain that person. As that person was detained, it was determined that, you know, the tag was counterfeit and so on and so forth. That's how it builds up. But the first question is there a right for the officer to stop somebody, right? If there isn't, then a person can say whatever they want. They can say, hey, I don't feel like talking to you. Do you have a right to detain me? Yes or no? So, but these are the things that people really have to educate themselves on. And most of the time, I would say you have to start with that question. Does the officer have the right to have me detained right now?
What about the woman who was driving that car who got into this trouble? I saw in the video, she's like, well, I gave you my passport. And the officer said, well, that's not a driver license. If you're coming from another country and you're going to Miami, you rent a car, you're not from Florida. You're not from the U.S.,
right?
What do you need to drive?
So when you're visiting from another country, right, internationally, traveling into the United States, well, into Florida at least, right, and you wish to drive while here, you're required to have your on your possession the valid driver's license that was issued to you from your country of residence. That's what the Florida law states. So a passport is can be used as like identification, but it's not necessarily good for serving as a driver's license.
So somebody from another country needs a license,
right?
But we have people in Miami, Hialeah. They just drive. They don't need anything. I mean, that's the way it seems. Because you got a lot of unlicensed drivers out there.
You do have people without licenses. You got all types of things happening on the roadways, Andy. That's for sure. But definitely a driver's light when visiting, driver's license from your country that issued it to you from your country.
How's spring break going? A lot of people visiting or not visiting, because we know that whole campaign, and I've seen photos on the FHP Miami Instagram feed where you guys are, I don't know, it looks like you're out in full force.
Full force. Yeah, absolutely. And again, just assisting or supplementing our local partners, Miami Beach, the city of Miami Beach, and what their mission is and what they're trying to accomplish, a peaceful spring break period without any violent crimes occurring. Pretty reasonable, if you ask me. And I'm happy to say that we're coming into week number 3 of the spring break period. And there have been really no major incidents to report. And when I say major, I mean what started all this, right? The shootings that ended in tragedies, people dying, you know, stabbings, narcotics. I mean, so many people, so much crime, right? And so I'm really happy to report that I believe the collaborative efforts between everybody working towards the same goal have really contributed significantly towards what we're seeing now. And that's the decrease in crime and just really the amount of people coming into the city.
Every email I get in my inbox from the state of Florida that has to do with the troopers, it's like, you guys are in Miami Beach. You guys are, I think, in Texas. Maybe you guys are now trying to stop people from coming from Haiti. I don't get into you know, politics and all that, so I'm not really familiar. But I just keep seeing headlines and headlines. You guys are all over the place, even outside of Florida. Does that come from the governor, or who directs all that?
Well, it does. It obviously, the governor is who, you know, state law enforcement. He is who we report to, right? We're his police, right? And so if he has certain initiatives that he's spearheading and he needs the state resources in place to carry out those missions, then he'll use Highway Patrol. He'll use his federal Department of Law Enforcement. He'll use the Florida State Guard for whatever it might be, whatever his concern might be, or the concern might be. And you're also seeing the headlines, Andy. You're seeing the FHP getting involved in a lot of things that maybe historically or traditionally they didn't do before. And that's really a combination of new leadership in place, maybe better relationships with the cabinet members. I think it's just a combination of a lot of things where you're seeing really the Highway Patrol going above and beyond, and I think that's pretty much why you're seeing that.
I see a lot of new bills, Lieutenant, going to the governor's desk. One of them, pretty recent, was to change the age from 18 to 21 to be a stripper. Will the Florida Highway Patrol be checking IDs outside of adult entertainment establishments for people working there? I mean, is that coming up next trooper job?
I don't really see any. No, I don't see any ID checkpoints.
I wonder if anybody would sign up for that one. I mean, I don't know. I see all these bills going across his desk, and this is one of them. So that's kind of big.
You never know if it needs to be enforced, Andy. And our, you know, they call our number. You know.
Well, look. Let me say this, okay? Let me be on the record. If that call does come, I would like to do a ride along. Okay. I would like to make sure that I see how that's going down. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol, thanks again for your time. Stay safe out there, and we'll chat again next Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Take care, Andy.
All right. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. And that is a bill that I saw in my inbox. Legitimately, the age they're trying to change to 21. To be a stripper. Right now it's 18. Interesting. Uncle Luke commented on that. Actually, next week I'll have to chat more about that with Uncle Luke. All right, that's all the time I've got for this Wednesday afternoon. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.